Well, President Trump says he's considering releasing portions of the video from this past weekend's nighttime U.S. military raid in northern Syria, in which Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS, killed himself as U.S. troop dogs chased him. Admiral James Stavridis is former NATO Supreme Allied Commander with responsibility over Afghanistan. He's now at the Carlyle Group. Admiral Stavridis, we don't celebrate death. That's what ISIS does. But I know that you join other analysts saying it is a better thing for the world that Baghdadi is gone. But you believe, as others do, that this doesn't mean the end of ISIS?
I wish it did, but it certainly does not. As surely as winter is coming, the Islamic State will come back. The Islamic State is much more than any single transient temporal leader like Baghdadi. It's an ideology. It's profoundly believed ideology by many of its adherents. And it is also a network, Robin. It is disaggregated. It's global. It's deeply embedded on the internet and in the world of cyber. We have not heard the last of this lethal, venal organization. And any semblance of celebration is certainly premature.
Well, what do you make, then, of President Trump's language yesterday? He called Baghdadi, who calls himself a Muslim. Many Muslims would say that he's hijacked their faith, but he called him a dog, which is highly, highly insulting. He was chased to death by the U.S. dogs. When he set off his suicide vest, he also killed his own three children. But to Trump's language, is that militarily something that is a good thing, that maybe followers of Baghdadi need to hear that kind of language? Or militarily, is that the kind of thing that's going to rile up members of the Islamic State even more?
I think there's little doubt that the Islamic State will use the president's comments in highly inflammatory and, I would argue, very effective proselytizing and recruiting efforts. I think it's also the level of operational detail that the president provided, I thought, was beyond anything I've seen another president do. So those are both troublesome aspects of the aftermath of the killing of Baghdadi. I do want to pause for at least 1 second, Robin, and simply say there is something to celebrate here, and that's the professionalism of the armed forces of the United States, both our special operations, our conventional forces that back them up, the quality of our intelligence organizations, particularly our CIA operatives who go into the field with our military. And lastly, we ought to celebrate the fact that the Kurds, who must be feeling bruised and weakened by the U.S. withdrawal, supported us and provided some of the key intelligence here.
Do you also give President Trump credit for okaying the raid?
I do. It's always a difficult decision. I watched both President Bush and President Obama make those kind of tough calls. It's something we expect from the occupant of the Oval Office. I think President Trump clearly made a correct decision here. And by the way, we also ought to point out, Robin, that we were able to recover a great deal of ancillary material, computer files that will help us continue to face the Islamic State.
Do you know any more, though, about how the raid was impacted by the fact that President Trump did announce a sudden pullout of U.S. troops from Syria? The Kurds, who, as you just said, and everyone has said, gave intelligence that helped this raid, they have felt abandoned by the U.S. And we're reading in the New York Times that this raid was well planned before the president made that pullout announcement and that the Pentagon had a scramble to carry out the raid because of the pullout.
I think there is extreme logic to that line of thought. I do not have firsthand knowledge that the raid was accelerated, but the reporting based on my own decade of experience as a 3- and 4-star officer planning and conducting raids like this, it rings true to me. And I think that it's a further indication of the policy failure in simply stepping back from the Kurds, our closest and most reliable allies in northern Syria. And it cedes the battle space, if you will, to Vladimir Putin, the Syrian Bashar al-Assad, the war criminal and dictator. And it also gives a much wider playing field to Iran.
Well, what happens now? Because we're hearing, for instance, that President Trump is considering releasing the video footage of that military raid on the ISIS leader. We know President Obama at one point released the video, but I'm hearing a reaction from you Your thoughts?
Never good. All it does is provide a study guide to our potential opponents going forward. In my view, no upside to doing that. I think the salient question here, Robin, and you asked it a moment ago, is what next? We have to continue to keep the pressure on the Islamic State. The best way to do that is through international coalitions. We need to convince Iraq to let us continue to use Iraqi facilities so we can base operations out of there. We're going to have to, I think, come to a better accommodation with both the Kurds and with the Turks. That's going to be challenging. And then secondly, interagency cooperation, making sure the CIA, the NSA, the Department of Defense continue the high level of cooperation we've seen. And third and finally, we need to address the challenge that ISIS presents in the cyber world, in the internet. They are going to continue to use that tool very effectively. I think that that is an area that needs more emphasis. That would be my prescription for dealing with the Islamic State going forward.
That's Admiral James Tavridis, former NATO Supreme Allied Commander with responsibility over Afghanistan and author of the book Sailing True North, 10 Admirals and the Voyage of Character. Admiral Tavridis, thank you.
All the best. Bye-bye.